I picked this message because it was short. I preached it a couple of weeks ago in Tacoma. I don't know if it's a conference kind of a message, you know, but it's short, and so it's appropriate for this time slot. So, in Mark, the 7th chapter, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 7, and another thing about it is that we're going to stay pretty much here in this text. We're not going to be hopping around. We're not going to be having, you know, a sword drill in the message. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 7, reading there in verse 1, it says, "Then came together unto him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes which came from Jerusalem. And when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled," that is to say, with unwashing hands, "they found fault." I'm going to stop right there for the moment, and let's go to the Lord in prayer. My subject this afternoon is Christ and the fault finders. Christ and the fault finders. Amen. Heavenly Father, we come again before thy throne of grace, again thanking you, God, for your goodness to us. Father, we pray now that you would just take hold of the word and use it in our hearts and lives and get glory from it. Lord, just take your word and use it, O God, to work in our hearts and lives that which would be pleasing in thy sight to do. Father, we thank you for the messages that we've already heard in this conference. I thank you, Father, for men who are like Brother Keller, who are truth tellers. And Father, I just pray that you would help us to be faithful in that area of our lives too. God, just anoint us with power and unction. Father, we don't want to be offensive, and yet we know that there's an offense to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray, Father, that you would just take the word and use it as you see fit. We need the power of the Holy Spirit, O God, as we stand and as we preach and as we teach the word of God. And we know that there's going to be fault finders. No matter where we go, there's always someone that can find fault somewhere. And Father, we just pray that we would never be guilty of allowing them to have just cause for their fault finding. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Amen. When Jesus Christ came to this earth from the glory of heaven, the Israelites at that time, especially the Israelite leaders in the days of the Lord Jesus Christ, were constantly preaching and teaching something that was called the tradition of the elders. They were so focused sometimes on the tradition of the elders that sometimes they absolutely forgot the law of God. Jesus exposed that. Jesus was a truth teller. And he exposed it, and they hated him for it. This was an evil, and Christ exposed it as an evil. I want you to notice just two things in the message this afternoon as we consider Christ and the fault finders. First, their criticism, and secondly, their condemnation. Let's take a look, first of all, at the criticism of the fault finders. I'll start again, read those first two verses, and continue on down to verse 5. "Then came together unto him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes which came from Jerusalem. And when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled," that is to say, with unwashing hands, "they found fault." For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands oft, eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the market, except they wash, they eat not. And many other things there be which they have received to hold, as the washing of cups and pots and brazen vessels and of tables. Then the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, "Why doth not thy disciples, according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashing hands?" One of the first things that we notice about the criticism of the fault finders is the sureness of the criticism. In verse 2, it says, "And when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled," that is to say, with unwashing hands, "they found fault." You can mark it down. You stand for the truth of God, and somebody will find fault. If the perfect Son of God was always under the scrutiny of the scribes and Pharisees in his day. I mean, perfect. We're talking impeccable perfectness. The Christ of glory. If he was always under the scrutiny of the scribes and Pharisees, if they were always going about seeking to find some kind of fault with him who is perfect, the altogether lovely, why should we expect to receive any kind of treatment otherwise?
Amen. Amen. Amen, brother.
It's sure. It's absolutely sure you're going to receive criticism from the fault finders. I mean, after all, if they're willing to criticize the sinless Son of God, who are you?
Amen.
Who am I?
Yes. Amen.
But the thing that I want to encourage you regarding this point is that let us be careful in our Christian walk, in our daily lives, that we never, never give the enemy just cause for his criticism.
Amen.
May we strive to be more like unto Jesus every day, that when we are confronted with criticism by the fault finders, that it will only be the kind of criticism that these fellows had for the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, did you notice that they really didn't find a fault with him? They couldn't find any fault with him. After all, he's the sinless Son of God. So what did they do? "Oh, your disciples over here. Your disciples over here. Look at them. Why, they're eating with their dirty hands. And the tradition of the elders says that you shouldn't do that." You can mark it down. Criticism is sure to happen if you're faithful to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Another thing, the source of the criticism. We've already touched on that. It's the tradition of the elders. I mean, they couldn't go to Scripture because these guys, they were just following the Lord. They were serving the Lord. And the only fault that they could find was the tradition of the elders. You know what the tradition of the elders was? It's kind of like a commentary. It's the writings of men. That's what it was. It was not Holy Scripture. We see in the source of criticism the people. They were a religious people. It was the religious crowd that was finding fault with the Lord and his followers here. And, you know, Satan and his crowd loves to dress up their criticism of God's people with religion. They love to do that. I mean, they'll even quote Scripture many times. And you can see, you study the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, and more than likely when he is having one of his encounters with his enemies, they will try to back up what they're saying with Scripture, but usually they fall back on Old Faithful, the tradition of the elders. So we have the religious leaders accusing the disciples here in a very pious and religious fashion. And the place, of course, that they came from was Jerusalem. It's kind of interesting. Where Jesus was at this particular point in his ministry was up in Galilee. Now, if you've had Bible background or some courses, maybe you've got some Bible maps in the back of your Bible, you can look. Jerusalem is several miles away from Galilee. These fellows were zealous in their seeking to find fault with the Lord Jesus Christ. They came all the way up from Jerusalem to Galilee where Jesus was. They were watching to find fault. That's why they came. That was their purpose for being. They didn't love the Lord. They were there to find fault. And when they saw, it was like they, when they saw some of the disciples eat bread with defiled, that is, with unwashing hands, they said, I got them now. Got them now. Why? The tradition of the elders says you can't do that. And so, we see, criticism shall come. It's sure. And it more than likely will come from a religious crowd. At least it will be dressed up in some religious fashion of some sort. Many times, that's the way criticism comes to the followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't it interesting how zealous the enemies of truth are?
Yeah, right.
I mean, they packed up, traveled from Jerusalem all the way up to Galilee just to find fault with the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And, what do we do in our Christian service? How far do we put ourselves out for the cause of God and truth? When the enemy is willing to pack up and follow, watch and wait until they find opportunity to criticize. That's the way it is. Another thing, we see the scrutiny in the criticism. When they saw, I mentioned that a moment ago, it was like they were just kind of waiting. They couldn't wait to find something wrong. And, sadly for them, they couldn't find it with Jesus, so they found it with his disciples. Well, look at these fellows over here. Why don't they keep the tradition of the elders? I mean, that was a very big deal to these people. That was their religion. Their religion was all wrapped up in the tradition of the elders. You see, that's the problem. That time and time and time again, Jesus pointed this out to them. He says, I came to do my Father's will. I could care less about the tradition of the elders. I came to do my Father's will. And so they were scrutinizing the ministry there and looking for something to find fault with. And God's enemies always do that. Satan did it with Job back in the Old Testament. Yeah, you read the book of Job. I mean, Satan just said, God says, well, have you considered my servant Job? And he says, well, look what you've done for him. You've blessed him so much. Why, no wonder he loves you. No wonder he serves you. And no wonder. True enough. It is no wonder. Why do you live for God? Why do you serve God? Do you love him? Has he done so much for you? But the enemies of God will scrutinize, and they will find trouble with you and criticize you. And that's just the way it's always been. The devil does it. The devil's crowd does it. Daniel, back in the book of Daniel, he had some folks that were just laying in wait. I mean, they laid a trap for him. Right. They passed a law and said, you can't pray. They knew that Daniel was a man of prayer. Daniel prayed every day at prayer time. He was always at prayer meeting.
Yeah, that's right. Amen.
That's right, brother.
And they said, you can't have prayer meeting anymore. Pass the law, that settles it. It's like the tradition of the elders. Has no authority as far as God is concerned, but these were religious people. And they passed a law, and then they just sat back and waited. And sure enough, prayer meeting time came around, and where was Daniel? Daniel was at prayer meeting,
Amen.
Where God's prayer warriors ought to be.
Amen.
And then they went off to the king. Oh, Daniel's praying.
Yep.
Daniel's praying.
Yep.
That's always the way it's going to be with God's people when they're faithful to the true and living God.
Amen.
They're always going to have criticism from the fault finders. And then we see some of the specifics in the criticism. They were eating with defiled hands. Why do your disciples not follow the tradition of the elders? Why are they eating with defiled hands? And let me say this. The criticism here is not an issue about hygiene. It's not like, you know, when you were a little child and mama called you for dinner and you come rushing into the dinner table and you plop yourself down and you're ready to eat and mama says, what? Yeah, go wash your hands. Because you've been out there playing in the dirt, you know, and you come in there and your hands are all dirty. And that's a hygiene question. But this question here is not a hygiene question. Why? Well, it's the tradition of the elders. That's what the issue is here. It's not a hygiene question. It's a religious question as to whether or not they're going along with our crowd or not. And then, of course, the support for the criticism was the tradition of the elders. Why, the nerve of these guys. Just eating. Without, you know, obeying the tradition of the elders. And their support was not scripture. You need to understand it. You know, sometimes I think we think that we hear preachers preach, and I say, "Oh, he's on that again," you know. And we think, you know, does he just want to make me angry? Did he say that just to push my button? That's not the case. I love that message, brother. I can't wait to get it on CD and play it for the folks back home. But I tell you what, when it comes to standing for the truth of God, we need to base our biblical principles on the Word of God. We need to build our life on the things of God, the Word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And if it doesn't match up with the rules and regulations of our religion, so what?
Amen.
Stick with the Word of God.
Amen.
Stay with the Holy Scriptures, the Word of God. And I'll tell you, when a preacher stands up and he preaches against something that rubs you the wrong way, go to the Word of God. And if the Word of God says that's it, then you obey God.
Amen.
Now, if it's just something that's, you know, our religion, well, maybe it falls into this category here. And sometimes that can happen. But stay with the Word of God. Make sure that any criticism that's leveled against you has divine authority behind it.
Amen.
And then we see the speaking in the criticism. Back down in verse 5 it says, "Then the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashing hands?" Oh, that seemed to be such a big, hairy problem for the scribes and the Pharisees here. Why aren't they following the tradition of the elders? I mean, the elders have passed down these rules and regulations for our religion. Painstakingly, they've written out these beautiful rules and regulations for us. Why don't they follow the rules and regulations of our elders? Over in, I said it wasn't going to be a sword drill. You don't have to turn here. Let me see if I can find it real quick. Matthew 23, verses 23 and 24. Jesus said, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cummin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to let the other undone. Ye blind guides, which strain at a net and swallow a camel." And that's just exactly what happens when you get all wrapped up in the tradition.
Amen, brother.
You strain at a gnat. And swallow a camel.
God help us.
That's exactly what happens when you get your life all wrapped up around the tradition of the elders. And that's the problem with the enemies of Christ in his day. That was their main problem. They were so wrapped up in the tradition of the elders that they forgot the law of God.
Amen.
And we'll see that in a minute when the condemnation part gets here. But this is the story. This is what happens with God's people when they're faithful to serve God according to the Word of God. And they don't really care that much about the traditions of religion. Now, Jesus answers their question. And he answers it with condemnation. He sure enough did. Back in our text again, Mark 7, starting at verse 6 down through verse 13. "He answered and said unto them, Well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites." I told you he was a truth sayer, brother. It's not that he didn't love. Nobody ever loved like Jesus. He loved them. I mean, he's love personified. That's who Christ is. God is love and Christ is God. But he says, Isaiah prophesied of you, you're hypocrites. Well hath Isaiah prophesied of you, hypocrites, as it is written. This people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of the elders, as the washing of pots and cups and many other such like things ye do. And he said unto them, Full well, ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. For Moses said, Honor thy father and thy mother, and whoso curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, If a man shall say to his father or mother, it is Korban. I'll explain that in a minute if you don't know what that's about. He said, Ye say, if he says to his father or mother, it is Korban, that is to say, a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. And ye suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition which ye have delivered, and many such like things ye do. Yeah, he was a truth sayer. He told them like it is. You see, God's law says that when you grow up and your mom and your dad get up in years and they're elderly, it's not the government's job to take care of them.
Amen.
It's your job.
Amen.
They took care of you when you were in diapers. And now if they have to be in diapers, it's your turn.
Amen. Amen, brother.
That's God's law.
Amen. Amen.
The law of God says so. But what these folks had done is that they'd written in the tradition of the elders that, well, you know, I've got this little inheritance here. I've got these investments over here. But you know what? Rather than using this to take care of mom and dad, I'm going to give these things to the church. And I'm going to dedicate this earthly wealth of mine to the Lord. I'm going to give it to the house of God. Korban. That's what that Korban's all about. They're declaring that what they ought to be using to help mom and dad in their old age, they said, no, I don't have to do that really, because this is a gift that I'm going to dedicate to the Lord in the Lord's house. And so the tradition of the elder says, well, that's mighty kind of you. The offering box is just right over here.
Amen.
Yeah?
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
Yes. Korban. And what they did was, with their traditions, washed away the Word of God. Made the Word of God of none effect. They did away with the law of God by the traditions of men. And this is just one example. Jesus said, many other things you've done. He could have, you know, he was easy on them. He loved them. He could have said a lot of other things.
Right.
He quoted scripture to them here. You see the difference? They quoted the tradition of the elders. Jesus quoted the prophet Isaiah.
Right.
And so the quotation was a quotation of condemnation. Here, and if you want to double check it, you can turn back to Isaiah 29. I'm not going to go there right now. But in Isaiah 29, verse 13, Jesus quoted that scripture. You know, here's another little tidbit. When you find yourself being criticized, the best response is always scripture.
Amen.
Scripture.
That's right.
Thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
That's always the best response to criticism. But always be careful to use Scripture rightly. You know what I mean?
Amen.
Study to show thyself approved unto God.
Amen.
A workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth.
Amen.
Then we see the accusation in the condemnation. Verses 8 and 9. For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups and many other such like things ye do. And he said unto them, full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. They revered man's tradition, but rejected God's command. That was their great sin that day. Laying aside the Bible, and that's, to see the way he does it, there's kind of a progression here, if you notice it. First, they laid aside. They just laid it. Be careful about simply laying aside the Word of God. You say, well, I'm not a non-believer. I just don't have time right now. I'm just going to lay it aside. I'll get to it, preacher. I'm just going to lay it aside for right now. But there's a progress. There's a progression that happens when you start to lay aside the Word of God. The next thing you know, you'll outright deny the Word of God. And that's what happened here. They lay it aside. And then a little bit later on, they just outright, they took the tradition of the elders over the Word of God. And actually, in essence, they denied the Word of God. And that's the accusation that's leveled back at them now from the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, sin starts small many times. But it can grow into a monstrous, hideous-looking thing. I'll tell you, we need to pray for one another. Pray for my little flock up there in Tacoma, Washington. My heart breaks when I see some of them laying aside the Word of God. Pray for the backsliders in our churches. And then we see the illustration in the condemnation, verses 10 and 13, 10 through 13. I won't take a time to read it again. We already read it. But it's that part about the Corban. You know, God's way is clear. It is. God's word, I mean, many times, you know, you can just open the book and that's what it says. Amen. It's, you know, it's like black and white. You can just take it and you can read it and say, yeah, that's what it says. That's what it says. God's word many times is clear. Sometimes we wish it wasn't so clear. See, that's always been my problem in my Christian experience. It's not what I don't understand about the Bible. It's what I understand.
Amen.
God's way is clear. Man's way always looks for loopholes to get around the clear Word of God. And I'll tell you, when men begin to depart from the Word of God, they become colder and colder and colder. They become so heartless that they will even forsake those that desperately need their help most and deserve their help most and are worthy of their help. They'll even forsake Mama and Papa in their old age as they get colder and colder and colder, laying aside the Word of God, picking up tradition. Time is up, so I'm going to go ahead and close out. But I'll tell you something. Some of us sometimes have a tendency to lean towards legalism. I do. I know that. I've done it before. And let me say this too. There's nothing necessarily wrong with wanting to do the right thing. There's nothing really wrong with that. With wanting to do the right. There's nothing wrong with wanting to do the right thing. Call it legalism if you want to, but if you want to do the right thing, there's nothing wrong with that. It's important, however, to remember that human interpretations can often be in error. But God's law is never wrong.
Right.
God's law is never wrong. If you ever get to the place in your spiritual life where you have to make a decision, well, I'm going to go with God's law, or, you know, this kind of makes sense to me over here. Go with God's law.
Amen. Amen.
Stick with the old black book.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
Stay with the Word of God. You lay it aside, and the next thing you know, you'll outright deny it. And you'll become so cold and so heartless that you wouldn't do a favor for Brother Dan. That's heartless. That's absolutely heartless. But that's the way it goes. That's the way it flows. When you lay aside the Word of God, when you take up tradition in favor over the Word of God, the clear, plain, straight, black and white Word of God. So, let's just consecrate our hearts today and dedicate our hearts and lives to staying with the Word of God. Amen. Stick to the Scriptures.
Amen.
And always look for a "Thus saith the Lord" in our Christian and in our moral walk in this world. That's the message.
Amen.
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 Well, I feel like preaching again.
Preaching, brother.